Hello and welcome to MGP 541. I'm Sheepdog and with me this week is Pab. Say hello, Pabby.
We did it. We're here.
We nailed it as well. We nailed the intro.
We're here. So this is just for Kev. So just for Kev when he listens, it's actually an episode.
He ain't going to be listening because I've got so many hits out on his boat at the moment. I got pirates, I got submarines, I've got the Navy. I even trained some killer whales and dolphins while I was in Iceland just to mess with him while he's away. So, yeah, if he gets back, I've spent a lot of time and money that I ain't getting back, basically. But, yeah, we're here. And I've spent all day worrying I was going to fudge that intro. And I even tried to get you to do it, but apparently you've been thinking the same. So
I was just thinking, maybe I'll do the intro. I've been thinking about it every now and again for a day. And then I was like, what do I say then? And I was like, how do I say it? And I thought, there's no way I don't say it without sounding like some sort of creep or a weirdo. And I started getting in my head about my accent. And I was like, I just genuinely don't know anymore.
I'm still not sure I said it right. I think I did. It'll do. Yeah. Kev normally shouts so loud I don't hear half of it.
And it cuts out on the recording as well. It's so fun when he does that.
I always just hear him go, boys and girls. And I'm like, oh, he's at that bit already. God, time has flown by. But I can't believe it's been a week since we did an episode. It feels like for me, it's been like 2 days. I don't know what's been going on. Have you had a busy one?
So-so. Usual sort of stuff. Had a little bit of snow.
Everyone I know has had snow, whereas really? Deeping has some weird thing about it where like we just don't ever get it. And I don't really know why, because it's quite a flat area. It's, you know, cold. there's nothing really to stop snow. There's not like infernos and volcanoes everywhere. It's just, it doesn't snow here really ever.
Is that to do with the region's like height, or? Because it's like normally like, the higher up you are, the more snow you get, don't you? Is that how it is?
So I'm not sure. I might be wrong.
Then you might be lower down, and you don't. I don't know how it works either. But
see, I'm not 100% sure I've understood this properly because I'd never heard of a fen until I moved to the Fenland area. But as I understand it, this was all just under the English Channel until Vikings basically threw dirt into the water until it all became land. That might not be strictly what they did, but I'm pretty sure this used to be under the sea, so I don't know how high that would make it. It's above sea level now, because that was the whole point of their work. But I don't think it's much higher. But no, everyone I know from every direction has been like, yeah, snow in London, snow up north, and we're just here in the middle.
To be fair, it was mainly like a slushy, sleet kind of snow. It wasn't really anything. There was no chance of it piling on. It was just like a sleety, wet mess, really, more than anything. So it wasn't anything to write home about.
See, I'd seen one of my colleagues on Monday being like, oh, it'd be really good if everyone was in the office on Thursday, rah, rah, rah. And then Wednesday night, they were like, oh, I've just seen it snowing up here. And he doesn't live far from you. And he was like, oh, my entire journey will be snowy. I don't think I can make it. And everyone else who lives up north was saying like, oh, I'm going tonight. I'm going to go tonight to get there early so that I'm there on time. And he was like, oh, no, I can't do that. I'm staying up here. And that made me laugh because I was expecting him to have a massive, like, avalanche of snow then. But if it was just a slurry, he's had a bit of a touch there. But I didn't go. I don't go to the office. I stay home. But he made out that it was just blizzard weather and that he was snowed in. So good on him.
Nope. Nothing of note, really. Nothing of note been going on this week. I don't think, anyway. I'm trying to think if there's anything.
See, I've sort of tweeted a lot of my stuff out, but so I don't know if you saw this already, but I've had some ridiculous situations where, like, our downstairs toilet flush stopped working, and I watched a YouTube video, and I bought a part, and it arrived in the post, and I remember going into the bathroom and following the YouTube video and fixing it, and thinking, yeah, that seems all right, and I left it there, and it, you know, it seemed to be working, and then it's been about 3 weeks, and suddenly the same problems reoccurred, and so I just turned it off at the pipe and thought, all right, I'll figure it out. We're not going to be bothered. And so we've had about, I don't know, a week and a half of not being able to flush this toilet. So I've been using a bucket to pour down there and all of that. And so the kids weren't allowed to use it. It was just more if I needed a tinkle and I didn't want to go up the stairs, I would just fill a bucket of water to pour it away. And then I randomly thought the other day, the part I ordered, there was two of them in the bag. If I repeat what I did before, maybe that'll fix the problem. So I go in there and I take the bit out and everything. And I'm like getting ready to sort it. And I thought, oh, there's two in the bag. Did I order three? Oh, amazing. Okay. And then I thought, there's not even a hole in the bag. How did I get this out before? And I'm like looking around this bag trying to find the opening that I opened before. And it turns out that I didn't fix the problem before. I just started fixing the problem, realized it wasn't, like, somehow me trying to fix it stopped it being a problem. So I was like, oh, I guess I'm done, and wandered off. And then the problem immediately came back, and I've just ignored it, thinking that I already fixed it, and oh, whatever. So when I put the new part in, it immediately is fixed. It's working better than ever. It's absolutely brilliant. And yeah, we've got a better toilet than we had before. And it's like, why didn't I check? Why didn't I look at all? What's wrong with me that I didn't even bother? I need a memory. I need to make notes, like write on a piece of paper that I did whatever I did, and then leave that for future me to look at and realize that, yeah, it was me that ruined it all along. Or I don't know, there's no one tracking what I'm doing. It feels wrong that I'm an adult who's left to just do things like this, and no one holds me to account with it. Like, you didn't do that properly before, remember? It's just, yeah, me wandering. I tried to tell my wife. She just sort of was like, well, I'm glad it's fixed, because I think she's just come to expect that from me now.
You know what? You know what, Sheepdog?
What's that?
I don't know why, but for some reason, you're muted on my Twitter. I was thinking, you've not said anything on the TV in weeks.
When you said I was muted, I looked at my mic and then I thought, no, my mic's definitely not muted, because I've been talking into Audacity for the past, like, however many minutes. But thanks, Pap.
I thought it's been quiet. It's been awfully quiet recently. Not heard from him. I've seen him on Twitter in a while.
Everybody else is cue to go on Twitter and unmute me now, I think. That seems...
Yeah, there you go.
Obviously, I've been shadow banned. It's probably all those mean things I've been saying to Elon Musk.
Or if they haven't, if they have you muted, now they have to do the opposite. Now they have to mute you.
Don't say that. It's going to... I mean, my engagement's not particularly high anyway, but that's going to ruin me. That bloody community note I put on for Kev last week still hasn't been approved. All the people whose job it is to approve it have put stupid notes in, like, this is obviously satire, this is obviously a joke. And it's like, yeah, but it still needs the note on it. It's still not true. Come on. And it's weird. So I think I could screenshot it to prove that it's there, but Kev's won that one, really, isn't he?
You know, I can't be funny that. As well. I thought he was joking when he actually messaged, put that, because I looked at the time when he said he posted it. It wasn't there for me. I saw it.
You just haven't outright had me blocked, Pab.
But that wouldn't stop Kev. I was seeing Kev's tweets, would it?
Well, it had at RB6K in it, so that could be the reason.
Well, I don't know, but no, because I saw it like Monday. It was just in my timeline on Monday, and I was like, why is that there? Has he just posted it now? And I was like, no, it's from 3 days ago, whatever it was. I was like, I don't know why that has just popped up in the middle of my feed, just randomly. I thought he was joking when he said he was tweeting something.
The amount of people that have liked it or just like accepted that that's a tweet he'll put out, it's been quite funny. I also put out, so you...
There we go. So you did Google the Final Fantasy thing then?
Yeah, I was going to say, one thing you would have missed on the Twitter, I was going to segue into gaming there.
I thought, I've got stuff for you this week. I've not knowledge, but now I don't need to.
Yeah, so I looked it up, and for the listeners' benefit, the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth doesn't take your save data from Remake and Intergrade. It just gives you like level 40 basically, and you crack on from there. I think it's gonna be level 40 anyway, because I played the demo myself earlier, and when you're Cloud and Sephiroth in the demo, you're at level 40, and so I assumed that it's just kept you at what the game will be at, because obviously, I mean, what confused me with that is Cloud wasn't level 40 in the past, so he's telling you his memories, and in his memories is the current level he's at and stuff like that. So that was a bit confusing, but I am a bit disappointed that they're not giving you the continuity. I feel like I put a lot of effort into just like powering bits up or finding stuff, wanting to do a good effort for the future of the game. And part of the reason I got upset, I got annoyed when I played it before, is I missed the all materia. I think it's called Magnify or something like that in this version. But it's like the materia that lets you attack more than one thing at the same time. And apparently that was the only one in the game that you could get in Remake. And I thought, oh God, I'm going to need that in the second part. You know, I'm going to want that. I know they'll probably sell it at some point, but I don't want to miss it. So I kind of repeated some bits and made sure I got it and sorted it out and went out of my way. And then it's like, oh, I didn't actually need to do any of that. I didn't need any of those bits. So that is an odd decision. I even checked with a mate of mine who's obviously a game dev. I said to him, am I understanding this right? Like, surely they just needed to make the new game read the save file and it would have just been a load of numbers and essentially so, just Boolean sort of yes, no type things, wouldn't it? You know, to say, do they have this? Do they have that? And he was like, that's usually how save games work. Yeah, it's obviously not loading much more than that. It's just, do they have this? Do they have that?
It's, where were they? For me, it's do they want to have a game where they've got to figure out what level enemies and everything they want to start off on an even keel where every single person that comes into the game is at the same level and aren't so they aren't so people aren't coming into the game too powerful for the enemies at the start of the game or too weak for the people that start for the enemies at the start of the game. You know what I mean?
That yeah, I mean I get it and that is fair, but
that's the only thing I can think of.
You can kind of grind anyway, can't you? I could just start but this up
from the get go though. Could you grind from the immediate get go? If you started the game and then the first set of enemies, first grunts in the game, stomp you, and then you're stuck there because you can't grind anything. What you meant to grind? You meant to go back to Rebirth and grind in it, not in Remake, well, and then start and come back when you're good. I don't know.
The answer to that, I feel, would have been maybe putting it that if you weren't at level 40, they drag you up to level 40 and just say that. Because I'm guessing the demo starts where the game starts, and that's them walking into, is it Calm, the name of the village? So they arrive at Calm, and in the old game, that's where they tell the story of what happened with
Sephiroth.
It should be the start, because I'm pretty sure you leave Midgar and you walk to that
town. The 16 demo, wasn't
it?
The 16 demo was the start of the game, so...
Yeah. And that, it did say you wouldn't have to play this bit, which I was quite pleased. Like I said, oh, if you play it now, you have to play it later. And I thought, do you know what? That's done me a bit of a favour, because in the original, I didn't really like this bit. Like I enjoy the Sephiroth part in the original where he's like burning the mansion down and all of that stuff, but all of the build up before that is just a bit long winded. So I was quite relieved that was the demo, and it just meant I was excited to be playing it, you know, checking it out, and I think on the day if I had the games out, I'm playing it, I'm sat down to get on with it, and then I had to sit through that, I'd have been a bit like, oh, God damn, okay. You know, I forgot about Calm and the whole flashback bit and whatever. Whereas, yeah, being able to play that now for a bit of a taster, and then I'll jump in on the 29th and just be straight to the Chocobo Ranch and the... I'm hoping it'll be in this one, it should be, but in the last one, you had to try and get across this marsh, and it was like, you either get a Chocobo and just run across it, or you fight this ginormous snake that will just massacre you because it's so powerful, and... It used to be quite fun to obviously decide, oh, I'm going to beat it. Instead of avoiding it, I'm going to fight it head on. And so when you were saying about grinding, I would grind back in the day. Like I remember we used to, the training graveyard that you fight in both games, I'd grind a lot in there and get all the limit breaks unlocked. And then I'd do some other grinding in like the Shinra building or whatever. And then so by the time I was getting to that Midgar Zolom, or I think it's called Midgar Zolom, I would just smash its head in, basically. I'd just be like, right, decked you, off we go. It did mean that the next part of the game was a little bit easier because I was overpowered, but yeah, that's part of the fun of it. It's a challenge. You know, the boss there is meant to be this rock-hard snake that you're supposed to be beating up. I feel like the new one's obviously a bit more guiding about what you do, so maybe it'll just make you fight that and make it difficult or whatever. But I'm in two minds. I feel like I don't mind too much that it's not the same data, but it makes me wonder, like the whole in-between DLC part, I thought that some of that was supposed to be like powering up your character a bit, getting her more into the whatever, you know, gearing her up for the game, and now it's a bit like, okay, it's just a side story then, I guess, but that's fine too. It's an extra story about her. You didn't have that before. But have you completed the demo?
I haven't done anything. I've not played any of it.
Sorry, I thought you played it.
No, I haven't done any of it.
I'm surprised. So you
not played Remake, so...
Oh, have you not?
No.
Well, I mean, if you play the demo, it does have a story so far thing where you can just get it to tell you what happened in Remake.
I know, but I mean, for what it's worth, if I wanted to play it, I'd have played the first one.
Yeah.
Just not. No, I'm not as bothered about this one. I don't know.
No, I'm quite impressed with it. I mean, I know I don't normally get demos, so I'm not trying to say like, oh, wow, the concept of demos is really good. But the way they've done it for me is quite nice because, as I said before, they picked a part of the game that I didn't particularly like having to get to when I was younger, because it'd be like, oh, right, you know, you're basically wandering around Cloud's memory, him retelling the story of how he had to go back to his hometown and do one of his first jobs, and he met Sephiroth, and Tifa showed them around, and they went on a tour, and then they go to this reactor, and it all kind of the bit of the plot kind of is given their bit of backstory, and until you get to that kind of end of that, it is quite like, oh, okay, I'm just wandering around this town. But in this demo, it's kind of like, well, this is how this works, this is how this works, you know, this is how you can use this feature. We've added this in, you know, telling you a bit more about the game as you're going through. So that was cool, because it's just handy to get that information if you're new to it or you want to know. And then it's quite spectacular just seeing the lovely mountain ranges and all the stuff they've built. And then they give you a bit of the backstory. I think for me, it felt a little bit longer than I would have wanted it to, like a little bit slower. There were some bits where you're... Sorry?
Slower?
Yeah, so it was like a bit where you're... Your character kind of gets hit by something and you're limping. And I felt like I was just going to die. I was going so slow. I was just like, I can't cope with how slow he's walking. I really need him to speed up. And it was just limping along through this bit. And I was thinking, I'm seriously going to have to just turn this off if he doesn't walk any quicker. I think that's just me being impatient. But I was just like, he is like limping along. I'm used to just holding the run button down and going at the fastest it will allow me. But this was just like making me limp. And I had a few bits like that where it's like climb up this wall and you'd be like slowly climbing. And I'd be thinking, I'm going to pass out from frustration if you don't speed up. But other than that, yeah, it was just really pretty, really cool. I felt quite, you know, it was quite comedic because it's supposed to be a flashback. There were just certain bits where they were like, you know, he was sort of like, oh, I saw my mum while I was there. You don't really need to hear that bit. And they're like, oh, no, we do. Tell us anyway. So then he starts talking about visiting his mum. And then there's a bit where I think I happened to walk past the building where they're all doing exercises. One of them's like, you stopped and exercised for a bit. And he's like, yeah, I thought it'd be fun. And, you know, so then I kept laughing to myself because I thought you could visit one of the characters' houses. And when I went there, I accidentally knocked a table over. And then when I tried to press the button to open the door, I just basically slashed their front porch to pieces, basically. And I was just imagining him like sat in this hotel in the future being like, oh, yeah, so I went to your house and just absolutely obliterated your front garden. Because yeah, it just all seemed to be him telling the story to him, but everything I was doing seemed a bit irrational. So yeah, but no, it was cool. And what they're doing next is, it says on it they're going to do an update to the demo. So as well as playing this bit, you can play another part that's I want to say probably a couple of hours in. So it's after you've in the old game, it'd be after you've done the Chocobo Ranch and crossed the marshes. There's like this. It's like this city that's a canon as well. I think it's called Junin. And they've set some of the demo near there. So it's like, okay, cool. That'd be interesting. Should be quite fancy looking. But yeah, no, the advert came out last week as well, didn't it? And that looks spectacular. I'm really trying to place how far the second part goes because I was assuming it would go to just after the famous scene that everyone knows from the last one. But... I don't know, part of me feels like they're going to do something different with it. And there's some changes from the last game that they've sort of made that should make it different. I mean, I don't really understand what they've done yet. It's the adverts made it seem like there's either a change to the world because of something they did in the last game, or that there's two parallel stories going on in different versions of the world. And I don't really know what's happening there now. So it's like, okay, that'd be cool to unpick. But we will all... start to know in 20 days time, I guess, but yeah,
20 days, yeah,
29th, well, right, comes out, yeah,
3 weeks, something like
it's
that.
Mad, isn't it? It's come around real quick. I mean, I'm glad I think if I'd have played this when it first came out, the wait would have killed me, but I'm lucky that I kind of jumped back into it when I got the PS5, and yeah, it's been really cool.
So, you got what, 3 weeks to finish 16?
Yeah, which I probably will. I don't know how far I am at the moment, but in the week I looked up. A friend of mine asked where I was, and I looked up kind of the numbers of the chapters, and I was on like 24 or 25, and I read there was 49 or something like that.
What?
I say chapters, they don't number the chapters.
Who have you last come across boss wise?
His name's, it's not Cubfu, that's a Pokemon. But I can't remember his name now. The Titan fella.
Titan man, the big bold fella.
Yeah,
who's massive.
Yeah, he's the one who turns giant and can like wreak havoc when there's an army sort of war going on. One of the characters changed like appearance out of the blue, which I thought was quite interesting. And I think that's where I am at the moment.
Oh, I know what you mean.
One of the teams a bit like, let's figure out why that happened. And I'm looking forward to finding out why that happened. But part of me doesn't want to look up where I am because.
Have you beat that guy yet?
Yes, yeah. So I'm back at the base now. Just after that, I think.
I think you're about halfway through.
Really interesting. That's cool because I wondered, right? So mid just turned up. That's where I am actually thinking officially. Mid arrived and was like, "I'm back
mid
from."
Because she's got an accent like me.
Yeah, well, she's Sid's daughter, isn't she?
Bit of a mank accent on her sometimes, I think.
Sid's Yorkshire, isn't he? So, I imagine she got raised. Fact,
yeah. I was raised thinking, near a city or something. Gav's from, like, North East, isn't he?
It's funny hearing them all talk and just thinking, you're just a bunch of Northerners. You've all just, like, met up north and then gone to Final Fantasy land. Because everyone else has got different made-up accents for the most part, I would say. But, Mid turned up and I'm supposed to be meeting her in some room that I didn't even know existed. They're like, meet me in the storeroom. And I'm thinking, we have a storeroom?
She gives you a stack of quests from that.
Cool. Because this is something where, like, I've somehow been really on top of all the side quests, I think, anyway. I'm going to be annoyed if it turns out I missed them. But
There's so many side quests in that game that are pointless.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm getting, like, a plant for some guy.
Yeah.
Woman had a go at me because she'd run out of fabric. And I'm like, you realise I'm saving the world here and you're shouting at me. Yeah. I mean, at least the flower guy was like, if you get a chance, don't go out your way. It's all fine. But she was really annoyed at me.
Yeah, you don't need to do every single side quest in that game because there's such dross in there. There's so much filler. I pretty much only did the side quests that were the ones that have an icon on it. Is it an icon on them or something like that? There's certain side quests that are that will give you something for doing the side quest, something significant.
So sometimes, I've not really checked too much, but they've all got the green bit on them that says it's a side quest. But I kept humming and ahhing wherever to bother, and then got I've forgotten their name, the Chocobo. I managed to sort of get them, and I was like, oh, nice, cool. I wasn't expecting that. Then I sort of assumed we might meet them again.
So you've unlocked the Chocobo then.
Yeah.
So that one is a side quest where you will gain an item for it. There's some side quests, say, have you done like side quests for the herbologist fella?
Yeah, so he's one who, I think, so he's, one of them sent me to get a flower that meant potions are like 20% better off. So but then another guy asked me to get an apple.
Yeah, like, that's the side quest that will give you. So I can't remember what it is now, but there's a distinction between them. You see it in your quest log, the side quests that have significance and the side quests that want you to go and get 15 cloth for no reason, or they've lost the book and you go and help them find the book, and you're like,
I've done a few of them where it's like, oh, the postman's upset because he's dropped a note for someone, and you're like, okay.
You've got to wade through four waves of enemies to get to it. You're like, this is just such a waste of time. It's a 20-minute thing for this, for an inordinate, stupid amount of XP that is pointless. You might as well not bother. So
I'm liking the hunt board, though. They've been quite challenging at times.
I did some of them. I did like two or three, maybe. I started doing it. I initially did it and went, okay, yeah, I'll do this. Went and did it and got my ass handed to me. So I was like, never mind. I'll just not do this. I'll just not do this and carry on.
Yeah, I think the first one casts death on you. So if you don't know, that's going to kill you kind of thing. Like if you don't sort of realise that's what it's doing, then... I think I tried to jump out of the circle and just missed it and it killed me the first time. And I was like, oh, I know what to do. I just didn't do it quick enough, you know, so I was fine with it. But yeah, I think I've done 5 or 6 of them. I kind of want them to appear more because I found a couple without even realising the board was there. Like I just stumbled across them in the wild.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sort of wondering whether to just do that more or go and kill them myself. Like I don't get them. I don't want to look them up and get the list and go do them that way, but I'm a bit frustrated that they're not always on the board as quickly as I'd want them to be. And
I think I did just look some of them up because some of them have key items, have like key crafting materials to upgrade.
Yeah, that was one of the things. So one of them like, one of them had like Electrium or something, which is a thing I needed to get better.
Yeah, stuff like that that requires the stuff for upgrade to your weapons and stuff. And I was like, I kind of want to do this. So, I did just look them up where they were, like took it off the board and went, right, okay, let's go and do it. And then just looked up where it was. And
I must admit I've done that because it was giving me the, there's a place called Clairview, and it's like, oh, it's in Clairview. And I went there and I'm wandering around for bloody 10 minutes thinking, well, I've explored every single bit of this. And then when I looked up on the map, it was like on a couple of fields away in a different place called a different name. And I'm thinking, well, it's not what the game said. Like the game physically told me to go to Clairview. So that threw me a little bit. But
that's annoying, I suppose.
It also would say stuff like, I'm on the road to Rosaria, and I'd be thinking, you know how many bloody roads there are to that place? Like, that's not helpful. So, yeah, I definitely have a little go. If I don't find it immediately, I'll have a quick look to see where it is on the map just to save me from losing patience. But I don't think that's too bad. Halfway through then, so how many hours did you say the game was roughly?
God, I don't know. Hang on a minute. Let's do some live how long to beat, whatever it is called. Because I feel like I want to say I did it and I was in the 40s.
Because I reckon I could probably get a lot of hours over the weekend in. If I haven't completed it by next week's episode, I'd be surprised. I feel like I've been really going at it in the evenings and, you know, my lunch break at work, I'll have to spend an hour on it then.
Main story 36 and a half hours, main and extra 57 and a half hours, completion is 79 hours. So I feel like you'll be doing main and extra. So
yeah, I don't see myself being completionist.
No, so I feel like you'll be in the between 36 and 57 hours is what you'll do. You'll be close to 57 if you do all the side quests, I imagine.
I might start limiting it to the important side quests then.
That's the thing. Because it got to a point where I'm like, I just no, I'm not. I've got better things to do with my time than let's say do 20 minute side quests for just XP for the sake of it. It's not worth the time. I mean, I've got it on easy as well. So I definitely had it on easy. So I was just like stomping stuff, and I've got the auto stuff on. I don't know if you have the auto attack thing on.
No, do you know what? I don't know why, but I didn't put any of the auto bits on, and even though I had the Onion Knight sword for, I guess, getting it early enough or whatever, I didn't equip that. I was like, no, I'll use the normal one. I'll play it with the way the game intended, rather than just overpowering myself.
I don't know what it was with it. There's like an amulet you can have on, can't you? And it does the. I just kept that on the entire game, and it was just like, okay, this is cool. I just kind of mash all the buttons together, and it does, and some cool stuff happens in front of me. It's doing it. It's doing all the combos for me. I was like, okay, this is kind of, it's not ideal. It's not the way they probably wanted me to play it, but I'm seeing all the cool moves that I probably wouldn't be able to do on my own. So, so there you go.
There are a couple of moves I don't know how to do, and I remember them vaguely explaining them, and I sort of every now and again I do them by mistake, and I'm like, yes. There's a thing where you could just like tie them up and pull them to the ground, and then they lay on the ground for a minute, and then you can hack at them. And I think it is using this one of the Garuda's moves. But half the time I use that move, and I just start spinning into the sky, And every time I press it, I just go higher and higher. And other times it will just whip them, like almost lasso them and pull them to the ground and I'll beat them up. So weirdly, it does the opposite. So there was a bit where someone kept doing earthquakes. So I thought, oh, well, I'll just leap into the sky and spin away and you'll never be able to defeat me. And instead it just lassoed him over and over again. And I was like, this is not what I wanted. What am I doing differently? So yeah, I felt like the game's just trolling me at that point. But yeah, I'm having great fun with it. I was actually a bit frustrated in the Final Fantasy VII Rebirth demo that I couldn't dodge when stuff was attacking me. I kept pressing the dodge button. I've got in the habit of dodging now. Normally, I don't like trying to be dodgy and stealthy in games, and I just really like the flow of this. Just like someone comes to attack, you twitch to the right or to the left or whatever. And yeah, I was missing that in when I was Cloud and Sephiroth. I couldn't do the same thing. So that was interesting. When I finish this and go into that, it's going to be hard to adapt. But oh, it's really fun having like back to back Final Fantasy games and having just finished a bit with one. And I had a bit of a go on the Intergrade stuff in the week as well, because I was just playing the board game in that. And before I knew definitely that it wasn't carrying over, I'd been playing that in preparation. So really been smashing the Final Fantasy for me. It's been really nice.
That's not so bad then. I mean, I'm glad you like Final Fantasy
16. Yeah, I'm glad. I was nervous. I thought
I was going a bit insane when I kept going, nah, it's no good. And I was like, no, it's good. It's good. I like it. And I was like,
I didn't like the big battles, but
yeah,
I do really wanted to play it properly. She'll probably pick it up in the summer, won't she, and then really enjoy it. That's my
I feel like a certain point, like all I did was whack it on easy and just add the auto things on. It's not too difficult. It's like I say, you ignore the side quests, push the story, and it kind of moves along quite smoothly. And the story's so good. So good. I don't even know what to say to you. I was like, did what about this bit? And then I was like, you've not got to that bit yet.
It is interesting, like how big everything kind of like the. I'm intrigued because I think I understand what the story is saying and doing and where it's going, but I just feel like there's probably going to be more twists and turns and changes and differences, and yeah, I'm just enjoying it. And the fact that, like, say I'm halfway through makes me feel good, because at certain points I was like, I think when I played 13, I thought I was halfway through and then I was at the end of it, like I said last week. And so that makes me nervous with Final Fantasy games now, because I feel like 15 finished too soon as well. So I'm just like, But no, I feel like I'm getting good mileage out of this. I have played not tons of another. So my son's been hammering the Lego Movie games.
Lego Movie
and I've been
games.
Playing with him. So like, well, it's Lego Movie 2. So I don't know if that's different from the other one, but the Lego Movie, I think the second one, when they were traveling between different types of Lego worlds, so like Wild West and this, that, and the other. And so my youngest has been playing that, and I've been helping him with it. And I know I don't have too much to say beyond A, it's really good for little kids, but B, what I think is cool about it that's different from other Lego games is it's very aware that it's Lego rather than it just being like Avengers and everyone's trying to be Avengery and maybe you dismantle things and rebuild them. This is more, you've got a pair of binoculars, for example, where you can scan things as you see them. So earlier on, he needed a catapult, and there were catapults everywhere he could smash up and he could use and he could do whatever with. But if he got his binoculars out and he looked at it, it scanned it, gave him the instructions for making his own one, and he could go to a place where he needed to get through a gate, build a catapult, smash the gate down and go through it. So it's all very much like you come to a bit of a puzzle or whatever, and you have to try and solve what to do. And, you know, you could be like, well, what have I seen that could fix this? Or is there anything nearby that I could scan, learn how to build it? I mean, it auto builds it for you. You don't have to obviously sit and plan the parts or anything, but you can like rifle through his collection of like schematics and be like, right, build this one, and it'll build it, and then it'll try and use it or whatever. And yeah, I was just impressed. It's been very cool, because some of them it was how you can't pass here unless you've got this character like the old, you know, the other games do. But other times it'll just be like, to get through here, you need to build this. And yeah, it's been fun watching him figure it out, helping him figure it out. just watching the characters from the film be there, like Lego Batman and that. It's a little bit frustrating that he's obsessed with, there's a guitar, that electric guitar, that plays this one like bit of music, and he keeps just walking around churning out guitar music all week, so my brain's a little bit fried from that. But yeah, other than that, it's been really cool just seeing the game change, you know, go beyond what other Lego games have done. And I don't know, I got a feeling it wasn't on Game Pass. I think he spent like maybe £6 on it or something on Xbox, which is pretty good price again for a game that he's been playing for like over a week. He's getting good mileage out of £6,
yeah,
you know?
For sure.
But yeah, I think they're the main three things. I've been hammering Pokemon Go as always. I'm really annoyed with them at the moment because they had a big error happen yesterday where it all bugged out and I was in the middle of a raid and they will not give me my pass back. They've responded. Their support has responded to me 4 times now, telling me that after a thorough investigation, we can see you've already been refunded. And I'm like, no, I haven't. I have not got a pass. I used the pass, it's gone, I need it back. And they're like, we've investigated and we can see that you've got it. I'm like, no, I haven't. And yeah, it's getting on my nerves now because I just saw it pop up a minute ago and I'm like, I have explained. So I think it's an AI automated thing they've put in place that's just rubbish, but I'm trying to get it to take me to a human so I can say, give me back my bloody pass. But I hate this. A lot of companies seem to be doing this, don't they? Just having AI automated support that just fobs you off. It's like, god damn. But yeah, I think that's my week. That's everything that I've been doing. So you've got what, half an hour now, Pabby, to just riff on games.
I mean, oh word, my word, I need half an hour.
Oh good, what have you been up to?
I could start off by saying I played some more Palworld. I'm about I want to say maybe 12 hours into Palworld now, level 27. I'm almost at handgun. I can make muskets now.
I saw on Twitch just had like, it was one of the most watched games at the moment, like at the time. It was like 20,000 plus people watching it.
Yeah. It's, I imagine it's probably, the numbers are waning a little bit now at this point. It's, what, 2 weeks?
Sure, but I mean, that was much higher than most games, just to be clear.
Oh, yeah. For sure. It was, it's massive, but it's, we're still getting on with it. We have a second base now, secondary base, which is good. I had a feeling we could do something like this, and then secondary base just for mining. We have a mining base now with all our mining pals just doing the work because we need where the original base is. There wasn't a ton of mining stuff, so we have a secondary out base that's just for mining stuff. And then they all fill all the chests up, and then we just collect it all and fast travel back to our main base where all our construction stuff is and where all our supplies are and what have you. Our main base. So that's what we've been working with. That we've done a lot of bosses now. I'm like I say, I'm level 27, and I think my friend who I'm playing with is probably 28. I think he's a level ahead of me. But we're taking on level 30, like bosses now, bosses so to speak. Yeah, they are. They're like world bosses. And we're beating them. We've caught most of them. I want to say. I feel like we've caught most of them. Which is good. It's a pain in the ass, but you can eventually catch them. When you hold the ball out, you throw with right trigger, but with left trigger you kind of can aim it. So you do left trigger, right trigger to throw it. But when you hold left trigger, it holds the ball up, and it shows you a percentage chance of you actually catching it. And with these bosses, they've got like a sliver of health, like next to nothing left on the health bar, and they still say like 6%. You're like, oh.
See, I never know what that percentage means when I get a catch. Like a lot of games will tell me, oh, you've got X percent chance, and it never feels like it's that low. If that makes sense, it always feels like it's, I don't know.
Yeah,
it feels like 6% should be barely any, but it somehow works.
Well, it does, but like it takes a lot of balls. We're just throwing spheres, as it were. We're just throwing spheres for fun. You go through 20 to 30 spheres just throwing at them, just constantly. Oh, that's what I've not mentioned either. We got to a level now where my big panda that I have like an electric panda. He now has grenade launchers. So that is one thing that I'd have now. I have the big electric panda. I can't remember its name. But you at a certain point you can unlock that for him. You craft it for him, and then you throw him out, and then you ride him and you climb on his back, and then you assemble set up the grenade launchers for him, and then he's just like a shooter. You're just literally on his back, like a third person shooter. You just got a crosshair, and you just start dumping these grenades onto enemies, and it's just explosions everywhere, massive explosions. Like, we're doing it with the bosses, and it knocks the enemies over. So every time it just get up again, these bosses, I just shoot another grenade at it, and it just knock it to the floor, and we just pummel it again while it's on the floor until it gets up again, and I'd fire another one off. It's silly. It does look rather stupid, because I had to get my friend to take a screenshot of me, just screenshot of what I looked like, because he couldn't believe it, and I was like, I couldn't see, because every time I got the grenade launchers out, it would like kind of stick me to the camera to the back of me, sort of thing, so I couldn't ever see what I looked like. So he took a screenshot of me. It is rather silly. It is silly, but it's been fun. I've got a new glider, which is one of the pals. I think there's a pal that you can use instead of actual glider in there, so it moves a lot faster and more efficient. So I got one of them yesterday, which is quite fun, because I've got a flying pal now. I've got a flying pal that just flies around and can literally just fly around the world. But for me, it feels a bit slow sometimes, so I used to just jump. I used to just go really high up and just jump off and glide somewhere. But now with this other pal that is my glider, effectively. I think I can never remember the name of the pals. I've got so many different ones now.
They need a power wrap, don't they?
That would help, yeah. That would help indeed. It's just one of them things that I'm not hating it. I think sometimes I'm just kind of just in like a zen state with it. I'm not even really paying attention to what I'm doing. I'm just kind of running around, crossbowing things, trying to capture them, and then I just suddenly zoned back in and go, right, what we're doing? And then my mate's like, oh, we're going doing this, and so, all right, okay, come on, let's go then. I've zoned off, and I've wandered across like a quarter of the map, just going in a direction, just shooting stuff and just seeing what's over there, looking for, I think they're called lift monk effigies. I don't know what they're used for, increasing your chances of capturing. I think it's an upgrade token. Something or other, but yeah, so far so good. We're moving on up. We're pushing on towards actual guns now, and my friend was telling me that we actually need guns now, because we're doing some of them bosses, and our crossbows, like, out in the world do some damage, but when we're doing these bosses, they just like chip damage. They just take forever to do any damage to them. So he said, yeah, we think we need to start getting handguns. We've got conveyor belts now to make stuff. So we've now got conveyor belts for production. That was the last big thing that we did yesterday. So that's
for your your manufacturing plant of creatures.
Sort of, which, like, it's pretty much just a mechanism to speed up production. It's not an actual production line. It's pretty much just like a station. It's a workstation that will expedite the speed of the pals creating stuff, so it's just like a bit speed boost to production. But yeah, you can make guns and bullets and stuff with it, so we're gonna do that. That's the next one. We'll start working on guns and start equipping all our, make sure all our pals in the base are carrying, so they're not ambushed by a load of things, which does happen.
Sound odd, but I've been waiting for this to kind of appear on my son's radar, if that makes sense. Like, I thought to myself, if I tell him about it, he'll then tell his schoolmates about it.
Yeah.
And which, you know, is fine. I'm not saying I don't want that to happen. What often happens is I tell them about a game and then a load of them will just be like, eh. And it's like, that's really weird. Why are they so indifferent? So I like that with Grounded, with a few other games that look pretty good. But I thought, I wonder how long it'll take for this to appear on the average sort of primary school kids' radar. You know, year six, they're all playing Fortnite and stuff together. They're all on VR together. I wonder how long it'll take for Power World to appear and for him to tell me he's getting it or he's been playing it or whatever.
Maybe you should introduce it to him then.
I'm at the point where I'm thinking I probably will and see what he thinks, because, you know, he loves all that. I mean, he's really sad that Yo-Kai's just not got anything coming out anymore. Like, Yo-Kai Watch, he's played the first three. The fourth one came out in Japan but was never localized over here. The company that was doing that doesn't exist anymore. He was trying to get me at one point to email. I think I did email them because I was quite like, he asked me if I could. He was like, can't you ask them what it would take to do it? And I was like, do you know what? I'm going to, just to see what happens. They didn't reply, right, sadly.
Yeah.
But he was very much like, can you just ask them what it would take for them to do it in English? And I was like, But they haven't. So he's gutted about that. But he wants a game where he can, he just likes to play games where you catch monsters and you do stuff, you know. So he's played all the Pokemon ones that we've got. He's played all the Yo-Kai ones. This is up his street. But part of me wanted to see if someone else would come to him with it and then he could just spend all day on it. Whereas if he gets on it and no one else wants to play it, he's kind of stuck then, isn't he? And he's just going to have another game that none of his mates want to do. So I was also just intrigued to see how stuff reaches them, because we're obviously online, so we've heard about it and seen all the stuff. But I mean, they're online more than they obviously were at any other point in their lives, and they don't seem to have acknowledged it at all. There's no mention. None of them have suggested it or been like, oh, we're not playing Fortnite, we're on Power World tonight or whatever. It's surprising that, weirdly, they'll probably get it in like 3 months. You'll be like, I've had my fun with it now, and you know.
Well, that's it. I think that will be the case for me, because it's early access, so it's been out what, a few weeks, 3 weeks maybe at the most. I'm gonna hit a wall at some point of it going, this is as much content in the game right now. So there will come a point where I just kind of stop playing it because I haven't got anything else to do on it. I will reach end game, as it were, right now, because there's only so much they've done. So it will happen at some point. And also, like I say, I also don't want to burn out on it as well. I don't want to just burn out the entire thing when it actually comes out to full release, and I get kind of like, well, I don't want to play it anymore. I've done it. I've been there, done that now.
I feel like every game I've ever played early access that's happened to me, and I've never played the full one. And it always puts me off. I'm always like, I don't think I want to go into the early access, because I end up, not getting the proper experience. Or if I wait as well, everyone I know has already played the early access, so they don't want to play the full fat one. And I'm like, can't win. I think early access for me just doesn't work as a concept for the people I know. But, I don't know. It's interesting for me as well, seeing how so obviously you can imagine when this first came out, anytime you were looking at Pokemon news, you had someone responding, Power, Power, Power. And that seems to have started to die down. The only people doing it now are like a bit lame. Like it's like, yeah, mate, like not me saying it, but like other people being like, mate, this joke was funny 2 weeks ago. Now you're just laboring someone else's gag, you know? People would be going like, oh, I've not seen this POW before. This seems like a new POW. But yeah, that's quietened down at last. I kind of thought like, at first, you know, it's like, oh, I get it, it's funny, you know. But after a while, it was like, God, I've seen the same joke like every time there's an advert, every time there's an update. They're sort of teasing all the different things they've got coming, because I think it's the 27th, there's a new update direct thing coming out. We're going to talk about what they're doing for the rest of the year.
Who's doing this?
Pokemon, sorry. So Pokemon. I'm hoping they've been rattled by Power World enough to do something good. Do you know what I mean?
If they have been rattled by Power World, that is far too early for them to do something about it.
Oh, sure. They're not going to whip out a game, are they? But you know, like, off the back of it, I mean. But it'll be interesting to see what happens. It'll be interesting to see whether they have to plan more or do more, whatever it is. You know, they're gonna have to respond to it somewhere or another, aren't they? They've already put that, like, apparently they put out a statement saying they're aware of it and they want to, you know, consult their sort of routes they could take. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what does happen there.
The fact that nothing's happened kind of speaks volumes.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like people like Microsoft wouldn't want to risk any problem, would they? You know, and they must feel safe.
It's also a fact that, like, that Nintendo are quite litigious with this sort of thing, and the second anything goes on, it is like stomped and you know, nipped in the bud.
I think it's probably harder though when it's. Aren't they bringing out a PS5 soon? Or they've done something to change their...
Probably not.
I heard that they're trying to fast-track it onto PS5 because...
Maybe.
It's popular. And obviously it's already on Game Pass. So it's not often that a game... Like, if I went and made... I can't remember what they call them now. Like, I think there's Pokemon Radical Red that someone made that was like some super hard version of that or something like that. If I asked Microsoft to release that on Game Pass, they're not going to go, yeah, go on. You know, they're going to go, this is a copy-paste of a Pokemon game. So they've obviously looked at this enough and gone, this is legally distinctively different. And they feel comfortable with that.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see whether that ends up having an actual argument. Part of me wondered whether it might encourage Pokemon to expand what platforms they're on, perhaps. Because I was kind of like, I know it's a Nintendo-owned, to an extent, they own a slice of it, thing. But if they can see that this game, from nowhere, with no kind of funding or platform, managed to get, what was it, like 20 million players in a month, you know, they've got to be looking at that thinking, well, we'd get... I mean, imagine if they, like, we as in they, not me as in I'm part of that. Imagine if they brought out something on Xbox or on PC... That's going to get, like, so many people playing it that don't buy Switches and stuff, surely.
But that's the thing, though. Pokemon makes people buy Switches. Which is what they want more to do, because then buying hardware, which then keeps them in their ecosystem, which is why it'll never happen. Because they want them in that ecosystem playing the game that...
It depends, though, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know the numbers that they'd need to make to achieve to make it worthwhile, but... Imagine if they decided to bring out an MMO or PC or something like that.
What was the numbers last time?
What do you mean, sorry?
What was it for Scarlet and Violet numbers?
Do you know, so they released their numbers last week, and Scarlet and Violet is like their, I want to say, third best performing generation.
Yeah.
Which was quite surprising. I'll just see if I can double... I know people aren't that bothered to see it that accurately, but...
It was something like 20 odd million, wasn't it, at least?
I think it was like 25 million, something like that.
Yeah. So I mean, that's sales as well. That's not like Game Pass. That's not users. That's not Game Pass users or anything like that. So that's not like as if, like,
I mean, it's a sort of double edged thing, isn't it? So, right, okay. So according to this, they've sold 31.5 million of Red, Green, and Blue, the original the original trilogy, I was trying to say. somehow I went Irish. And then Sword and Shield, which was last gen, did 26 mm-hmm. million. And then Scarlet and Violet did 24.5 million.
Okay. So
what surprised me quite a bit was like Legends Arceus. Where are we? I can't even find it now. It did 15 million, which is a good number, but it's like I would have thought more people would have played there because it was so good, you know? It was like,
well, it was really it's also sort of like not a spin-off, but you know, it's not a main mainline game, so people are probably a bit more skeptical about it.
I think they do consider it a mainline game from their point of view, but
I'll be honest with you, that's the better game that came out that year.
100%.
I would agree that was better than Scarlet and Violet.
I mean, I loved Scarlet and Violet, but I really am looking forward to them bringing out the Legends game.
I like the fact that the Legends game did something different and it wasn't safe. It played it slightly differently and it made you have to do different things that you didn't do in the game before. So I did like that a lot.
But like, what I was trying to say with the Power World numbers is like, mm-hmm. if you look at their 90, I know it's players, not buyers, but so they're not making the money that Pokemon would have made on it. But they've had, if that was a Pokemon game they'd brought out, it would be their 5th best, assuming that it didn't go any further than 19. If it gets to 23 or 24, it goes into the top four. So
yeah,
it would have been the 5th best release in their series. And I know that, again, it is different, and they're not making all the extra sort of merch and all the blah, blah, blahs that, you know, Pokemon still got all the money. But it just, to me, would makes me think, like, the some of these, like Pokemon Yellow and games like that, were sub 15 million sales. If a game like that had been released, like, obviously done up in HD and whatever, blah, 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 made to look pretty, and then put out on Game Pass, or, you know, surely they're going to make a freaking fortune out of that. They're going to sell than 15 million, yeah, surely.
But I mean, like I say, Nintendo own Pokemon. They have a stake in them, don't they, in the Pokemon company and Game Freak and whatever.
Yeah, and I get that means 25 million Switches have been owned to get to that point.
But that's the other thing, is that you could say that about most Nintendo properties. You could say that about how much more would they sell if they put Mario on the Game Pass and all these different things. Nintendo has all these IP, and people want to play all these IP on their system. My Switch is predominant. I don't buy anything else on my Nintendo on my Switch other than Nintendo IP games, because it is a Nintendo machine. That is what it is. It's not for anything else now at this point. So they want you to buy it, and that's what they are banking on. That's why it probably won't ever move to another platform, I don't think.
Sure, I suddenly thought to myself, like, I wonder what profit they make per Switch sold. Apparently it's around $40 per Switch sold. So it's interesting to think, and like, they're not going to sell a game for, like, I don't know, I'm trying to think how that would even work, like $80, and, you know, they make 40 and, you know, Microsoft make whatever. That's not going to work, is it? Because then that game's going to be vastly overpriced. But if they did do a service game, like an MMO type thing, that could work, couldn't it? Because then it's like, if they, as long as they're making £40 per thing, that's basically the money that they made out of a Switch, and that would probably get a lot more than 30 million players.
Yeah, but they don't want, that's it, they want you on, it's not that, they want you on the ecosystem so you can play other things as well as just as Pokemon, where you've got...
No, sure, I get that they make more, but what I'm saying is they're still going to get those people
in there. Oh, they will, but if I get a choice of playing Pokemon on the Switch or on the PC, I'm picking PC every time. That's the thing.
Yeah, I'm not saying bring out Gen 10 on PC. I'm saying bring out Pokemon whatever, like Pokemon World, and put it on there. And then bring out Gen 10 on the Switch. And then you're kind of like, oh, damn, I've got to buy a Switch and Pokemon Gen 10, but I also want to play this game over here. And they're making all the money both times, aren't they? They're not going to lose the people buying the games. I mean, this is all hypothetical. We don't really need to go around in circles. At least you've got other games to talk about, surely.
Yes. the only other thing I've been playing is Like a Dragon Infinite Wealth, which I mentioned I've started briefly last week, and I'd played maybe 2 hours. I've played 13 hours now, which is, again, scratching the surface. Scratching the surface of it. I don't even know
Are they all... I can't even say it. Yakuza Like a Dragon was the one I played.
Yes, it's the one previous to this, yeah.
Yeah, so I really enjoyed that. And the only reason I didn't continue it was just because it was on my PC, and I don't really sit there, unless I'm streaming games, I don't really sit at it playing games that often at the moment. But is it similar sort of vibe? You're just funny
it's more or less the same. The combat is slightly different now. There's like you have like a circumference around you when you're battling now, and you can move around that freely. And that can affect how you go into, because it's turn-based combat in this, unlike the Yakuza games of old, where it was all just a bit of a brawl sort of action game. With these being turn-based, you can move around the circle, and if you're near, say, don't know, a bike or something like that, you can then pick up the bike and attack, you know, hit people with it, or you can angle yourself to be So like when you go to attack, it shows you like which direction the enemy is going to go when you hit them. And if you can angle it right, you can hit them into somebody else, into another enemy, so you can knock two of them down with your attack. Or you can knock them into one of your teammates, and then you get a free shot effectively because your teammates, they bounce onto your teammates, and your teammates hit them back again.
It's
so,
quite cool that it's like aware of the environment enough. It's all real, if that makes sense, to their world.
And yeah, I've been trying to get to a point in the game, which is called Dondoko Island. I haven't got anywhere near it because that's in chapter 6, and I think I'm in chapter 4. And you're wondering, what is Dondoko Island, aren't you, sheepdog?
I am.
Dondoko Island is their version of Animal Crossing in the game.
Ah, cool. So they've got like a little farm sim type thing going on, have they?
Yes, they are. Yes, I've not seen anything on it. I've just heard things about it, that you go there and you have an island, and then you've got like people to, you know, residents and stuff.
I'm imagining like because there'll be real people instead of animals. So it'll be like some guy turning up being a bit weird, and you just trying to encourage them to leave the island so you can get a new neighbour and that kind of thing. That sounds quite funny.
Yeah, I'd look forward to getting to that point. Because I've heard so many people say that unlocks, and then the rest of the game just disappears, and you just go into Dondoko Island for 20 hours, just because you just disappear into it, and you just can't stop playing it. But I've been introduced. I mean, there's so much stuff in this game, that is, I mean, you know this. You've played the other one, so that you know full well it's bonkers at times.
It's a bit intimidating in that it's just, as much effort as you want to put into it, really, isn't it? It's just missions.
I mean, I went into the arcade today, and there's full arcades in there. I was playing Virtual Fighter. I was on the claw machines.
I don't play it enough, but I'm always like, just knowing it's there is good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I did have a few rounds of Virtual Fighter, and then just, okay, I need to stop. There's a mini game, which is, I think it's to help you get money. I think it's called Crazy Eats, and it's like Crazy Taxi, but you are delivering food.
Did I hear Crazy Taxi's coming back at some point?
They are making a new Crazy Taxi. Yes. So you're on a push bike, and you've got a rider. You've got food. You've got to collect like burgers and stuff that are just collectibles that are on this road, on this map of the town. And you've got to do tricks, and then the more tricks you do, and then you've got to get to a certain people with the food, and then you drop it off, and then you get a score at the end, you get a timer on it and stuff like that, like Crazy Taxi. Depending on how well you do, depends on how much money you get. So that's another side mini game that you do. I've been introduced today to the Sujimon. I knew of Sujimon. Did you know what Sujimon is? Sujimon was in the previous one.
I don't remember. I don't know if I got far enough.
Sujimon is their... You might not have done. Sujimon is their version of Pokemon. There's a whole Pokemon thing in this game as well. But you aren't catching pocket monsters. You're catching perverts and miscreants.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I do remember now that, there's like you're just gathering up these. Yeah, I do remember that.
Creeps and weirdos.
Yeah.
Yep.
They're different sort of things they can do. Like,
yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. So I've been in introduced into the Sujimon League thing today, the big arena. There's a big battle arena underground in the dark. I just did a battle against some people, and then
a looking glass to the future here. Just
there's like their version of the Elite Four that you have to fight. I can't remember what they're called now, but it's such a funny name. So I've done that. I've been doing that. So now I've got to capture the Sujimon. Now when I go out and about in town, if I beat certain enemies up, they will become, I can ask them to become, I can convince them to, be part of my team, my Sujimon team, by giving him gifts. and then that is one of them. Another one that I've found is the Mismatch app on the phone, which is a dating app, and you have to go and talk to other people on the app and try and convince them to go on a date with you. And you have to make your profile, and then you have to answer questions, and then I've only done it once because it costs a certain amount of money. I haven't got a ton of money at the minute, so I'm trying to earn money up. But you have to convince usually women that you're speaking to, I think I spoke to two, and you have to try and convince them to go out with you by, they ask you questions, like, it's like a text chat going on, and you've got to pick the right answers for them to be convinced by you. I've failed on it every time because I just set the base profile up, and I actually went in afterwards and changed it all. So it's like, this doesn't sound like Castiga, to be honest. It didn't sound right. Because I was giving honest answers to what he was doing, but I looked at my profile, it was nothing like what it was. So I was like, I need to change it. So I've been doing that, and that's all the side stuff. I've not even got to the actual whole main story bit. Which has been pretty slow going, to be fair, for what it is. The whole game is only starting to now open up a little bit. I'm now getting around on a Segway. I've got Segways now, so I can now ride around on that.
I feel like that would be more trouble than it's worth.
No, it's fun. It's you just literally just down on the D-pad, Segway comes out, and you just go and start moving at a pace. She's good for speeding past enemies in the street, because every time you run down the streets, there's just loads of enemies everywhere. You know, like if you're just trying to belt through, you're straight down the middle of the road, full speed down the middle of the road, and you have to charge it up every now and again. She's been good for, like I say, getting around, trying to do the story missions. But like I say, I've not been doing tons of the story because I've kind of hit a wall with it where I had to go to a shopping mall, I think. But it was in a like a 3-star area. Everywhere around the main, like, starting area is like 1 or 2 stars. And I'm suddenly in a 3-star area, and the icon in the bottom corner, which tells you like which area you're in, is flashing red. And the enemy icons above people's names, sometimes they have a crown above the head, which means they're more difficult. And these ones are pink instead of red icons. I'm like, I don't know why these pink ones are, but the pink ones are a lot harder. I fought one team, and I was like level 13, and these are like level 16, and they stomped me. They absolutely stomped me. So I was like, I don't know how I'm meant to get to this shopping mall, because I've got to go through this entire hard district. But then I realised I just could have circumnavigated around the back of it, sort of thing, into the other entrance. And I figured that out just before we started tonight, so I've got to work through that. But because of that, I've been doing, like I say, all the side quests are starting to come out now. I've just finished one about some scammers that are scamming some young lad who's lost. They're trying to scam Japanese tourists by asking for donations constantly. And this guy keeps doing it. That was okay. That was a good one. But the one that I found was a bit, Well, do you know about Nancy? Nancy the crawfish. I don't know if you'd have got to that point in the game last time.
I think
time.
That's about where I got to in it. There was a... It was like... It was someone had lost it and you had to go and help them find it, or it had gone down...
You had to go in the sewer.
I was going to say in the sewer, and then I was like, is that right?
Yeah,
I think that's where I just saved before it and then didn't finish it.
So, in this game, Nancy the crawfish is still around. You do decide to take her with you to Hawaii when you go. You don't have to, I don't think. I think there's like an option, like take her or leave her here. And you're like, no, I'm taking her. Of course I'm taking Nancy.
Yeah, if you're asked to bring or not bring a crawfish, I'm to say the word crawfish in a game, you're not going to say no, are you? No, I don't want to know where this goes.
It's played so straight. There's literally, when there's like these missions come up, like she's not in it Adley at all, and then suddenly, boom, she's on your shoulder, and you're talking to her, and you're like, okay, and you just assume that he understands what she's saying, and she understands what he's saying, and it's just no, okay, yet. Yeah. But I've just done a side quest where Nancy finds a friend that she takes a liking to, and then you do a whole side quest about the hermit crab that she meets on the beach.
I must say, if people haven't played these games before and think, what the hell are they talking about? It's all silly, but like you said, it's all done in a straight way, and it's just like, it's all very ironic and very funny and clever, and it's impressive that they're able to write. So like, it's not just like it's one story made up of like thousands of little stories, most of which are entertaining in a funny way. Yeah. And I was thinking to myself a minute ago, like it impresses me that they're able to be so consistently funny the whole way through. And they're not, at least I don't remember any particularly like mean-spirited stories. Like, you know, they're not punching down at people. They're not abusing people for being different or whatever. Somehow they've just managed to do hundreds of funny missions without being like just horrible, which I feel like is impressive in itself as well. Yeah. And
well, that goes a long way. That goes a long way towards from the main character, who's like always positive, always helping out the little guy, always seeing like the glass is half full sort of thing. And the positivity goes a long way with the game. As like I say, you're never punching down on anything. I do just find myself smiling all the time.
Good writing, good story for sure. And yes. I think having sort of pondered it while you were talking, I was thinking, I do need to have a visit of this like on my computer when I can, because it's just, it's just fun.
I was playing this, and I think I remember thinking at times, I'm sure Sheepdog's played this. And then I was thinking, I'm not sure, but I think Kev might like this in some weird way.
Yeah, because I know Persona. Anna does, doesn't she?
Anna has played them.
I think she's enjoyed them. How much she likes them,
I don't know, but she has always found them strange and bizarre and fascinating. But
I think Kev would like the bizarreness.
I think because it's turn-based like game with like other stuff going on in the meantime, I think Kev could enjoy this. I think there's just, I just don't know whether there's, you know what Kev's like, he likes stuff to make sense sometimes, and if you're going to do this mission, you can't suddenly have a crawfish jump on your shoulder and you're suddenly doing a side quest. It just makes no sense. Sometimes.
I find him hard to predict, because I feel like he would be quite happy with a crawfish just appearing in games.
He probably would with that.
If it happened in Football Manager, he'd be like, yeah, cool. But no, I know what you mean. It's also just hard to know. He might be like, this is just absurd crap or something. And then
it's like the situation with Fallout 4 where he didn't like it because the game spammed you with a load of other side quests, and you're like, no, I'm going to go and do this. My child's been kidnapped.
Oh yeah, he plays it like it's the real world, and I was the same with Fallout. To be fair, it was like, well, I've done the thing that mattered. I don't really have any interest in the rest, you know.
Yeah, so it's like you just don't know which side of the coin he's going to fall on. Is he going to roll with this crawfish? I'm just chatting to a crawfish now, or do I need to get on with doing the mission at hand sort of thing? But it is, it's like I say, I'm 13 hours in now, and I really like, it's only now is it just starting to open up a bit more and give me more stuff, and there's no signs of it slowing down either. Like I think you're probably pushing 80 hours to finish this, and I'm liking it a lot, and I would like to finish it. Whether I will or not, I don't know. I said that with the last one, and I think I probably played about a similar amount. I think I played 12 hours of the last one. No, I didn't. I played 20 hours of the last one. I do remember. I looked at this the other day. I played like 20 hours of the last one, so I'm creeping up on that number now, so we shall see where we go with that one. But this could be the game that last for a while on this podcast now, because I just play it, and but I only play it in like hour chunks, which is what is annoying. I need like bigger chunks of time, because between Pal World and this, I've been playing a lot of Pal World as well, so it's one of them.
It's good that the current games, I feel like, you know, we're
yes,
I'm slowly catching up. I'm still not quite playing the current game.
Yes, I mean, you'll have a new one in what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
There's other things coming out all the time. There's always something.
Do you know, to cover it slightly, because I know Anna's played it a little bit, but the Suicide Squad game, I was surprised how few people were playing that on Twitch comparatively. There was 20,000 people playing Power World, and there was less than 2,000, I think there's around 2,000 people playing Suicide Squad. And I thought, this is on a busy sort of time of week where everyone's, you know, finished work, and
I think
it was just before the show. So I'm surprised.
People playing it?
Watching it. Yeah. So there was like 10 times the people watching Power World. But I know it's different type of game, so maybe they don't want to be spoilt on the story, but usually that's a good indicator of how hyped a game is if people are watching it on there.
It's difficult to say, because one, like you say, it's a story. The story is the what is important about that game for me. The story itself is probably good. From what I've played, it seemed all right. But the combat and everything else about it is what is the issue. And it's not that interesting. Like I say, I can't imagine it being that interesting to watch. That's the problem. Yeah, I imagine there was a higher number probably on the release week, which was what, last week. There's probably a higher number on that. But the fact of the matter is also the games can be done in 10 to 12 hours. So people who wanted to watch it have got the feel of it and watched it. But people have finished it in that week. And now there's not many watching it. And there's not many. There's a huge drop of people streaming it as well.
Yeah, I imagine so. You're right, they'd have completed it if they were streaming it in anger kind of thing. But I've not heard much hype. Like, I'm surprised how quiet all the circles I'm in have been around it. I'm just like, yeah, okay.
Because it's just an all right game. It's not anything to shout about, which they should be shouting about, because it's a Rocksteady game. It's just fine. It should be. With the pedigree that it is, it's, you know, we're coming in with the Arkham trilogy. With that pedigree, people are expecting another, you know, 5-star, you know, excellence game, and it's maybe a 3. So it's fine, but it's just, like I say, I've got it. I've played 5 hours. When I'll go back to it, I don't know, because like I say, I'm all in on Like a Dragon right now, and I'd rather be doing that than ping ponging around rooftops as King Shark and Captain Boomerang. So, but that's it. That is everything from me. Like I say, I've played pretty much two games. I've played a tiny bit of Fortnite, but we're on.
I think it's been a good start to the year in terms of games. Like, just
it has,
to round
it's
up there.
Well. It has.
It's mad, and it's only getting going. I feel like, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Right, wrap it up, Sheepdog. We're well over. This is potentially the longest show we've ever done. Kev will see the times on this and go, wait, what?
He'll know what happened, mate. Just to extend it even further, I had a guy come around to fix my boiler in the week, and I swear to God, he must have spent 15 minutes actually fixing the problem and another 2.5 hours just talking to me.
Really?
We were tangenting so much. I think just to give a very brief explanation, I think because he picked up that my eye contact wasn't really there, mentioned that he had ADHD and was autistic, because he knew I would be like, me too. And then we just talked absolute nonsense for 2.5 hours. And as I say, I watched him doing the actual repairs. I was conscious of how much time he spent actually fixing stuff, and was like, you could have been in and out here, mate. We've been talking for so long. He was like late home because we just wouldn't stop tangenting. So yeah, I think he'll be fully expecting that I've gone off on tangents and all sorts. But thank you very much for listening, folks. You know where we are, MGUK Podcast on Twitter, and I'm at RB6K.
And I'm at Pab 1986. I was waiting for Anna.
I did the same. I was kind of like, Kev, wrap it up. But yeah, thanks for listening, folks. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening, folks.